Welcome back to What Do You Know For Sure podcast with me, Anne Hughes. And in this week's episode, I was joined by Rachel Forbes as we talked about love, about social love, about everyday love. It was such a beautiful conversation that I really, really enjoyed. And it made me think about love in action and the potential for a love ethic in a way I had never even thought about. I hope that you enjoy. Rachel, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, tell us a bit about you.
I am a public health registrar. I am really passionate about making change for the better, positive change. And I'm a mum of a toddler. He's two. If I sound a bit nasally, it's because he's giving me his germs from nursery again. It's never ending, really.
Never.
Yeah, that's me.
Perfect. I know you've been thinking about it. Tell me, what do you know for sure, Rachel?
Ah, I love this. I had so many things that I know for sure, but this is my top one. I know that when we create space for love in our lives every day, that we are happier and healthier. There's so many benefits to it. And I'm not talking about romantic love, because I know that's where you mind when I said love. Whenever I say the word love, people think romance and maybe even sex. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everyday love and social love, which you might not have heard those terms before, but...
Tell us about it. Social love, what does that mean?
You probably know, if I say to you everyday love, you probably know what I mean by that. Like, what comes into your mind when I say everyday love?
I suppose it would just be getting out in the world being kind, being nice to people, basically, is what comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I asked some of my online community what they thought when they heard those words, everyday love, and it was things like, the little things that make you smile, like a cup of tea in the morning, being listened to and valued and cared for, and maybe listening to the birds, taking that time for yourself to listen to the birds and to have a walk, or cooking yourself a really yummy meal. So it's not necessarily about other people as well, everyday love, it's about yourself as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then social love is like an extension of everyday love. So it involves loving action for the good of another person, as well as yourself, and your community, and planet Earth, and our environment. So it's about using a lens through which you operate and considering, is this thing that I'm about to do good for the person I'm doing it with or for, good for me, good for the community, and good for the Earth as well. And it's got some core components to it. So there's seven elements, I think I've got counted right. So there's care. So making sure that we're personally and professionally providing what's necessary for health, mm-hmm. and protection of another person and of ourselves and of our community and environment. There's commitment to being dedicated to a cause or an activity or another person or a thing, taking responsibility for our own actions and taking on a moral obligation to behave in a socially and morally just way towards other people, ourselves, our community and our environment. Yeah. Respect is a biggie, the fundamental valuing of other people, ourselves, our community and environment, regardless of the circumstance that they're in. So always remaining respectful to other people. Trust as well is a big one. Firm belief in the reliability or truth of someone or something. So trusting yourself, having that faith in your actions and your convictions, but also trusting that other people are fundamentally doing the best that they can with what they've got, and that when they know better, they do better, and it's all a journey. Knowledge as well, so having some knowledge about whatever situation you're in, and being open and receptive as well, so allowing inspiration, spirituality and innovation into our lives. So social love is a bit more, the definition of it's a bit more complex, and it's in the scientific literature as well, it's talked about. And that definition that I've just shared with you is it's an amalgamation of the work of two people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of bell hooks.
I haven't, no.
She was a Black feminist scholar. She wrote about the potential of a love ethic and how living with a love ethic could help society to overcome those dominant systems of oppression that we have. And then Lynn Underwood as well, who's also written extensively on compassionate love in a professional context as well.
Yeah.
So I just know that if we were more conscious about how we were living it and and made our decisions and our choices through the lens of everyday and social love, we would be so much happier, so much healthier, and so much more connected to each other.
And that is just like fascinating. I love this podcast, that even though I'm nearly at 170 conversations, I've never had this one. And I think when you're talking about love, and this came up for me recently in a conversation, I was chatting to somebody and they talked about what is it if it's not love. And I was like, according to Wayne Dyer, who's one of my great teachers, I don't know if you know him, he's passed away now, but I loved everything that he ever done and has a very long, prolific career. And he used to speak about everything is a choice between love and fear. So the choice you make is either a loving choice, or you make a choice that is guided by fear because you're scared about what the outcome of it could be if you... So I suppose, and if we're talking about everyday love, you know, just being nice to someone, I suppose the fear is that they don't acknowledge that, they don't accept it. I'm still nice to people because that's not about them, it's about me. So even if they don't acknowledge it, that doesn't matter. I wasn't doing it for them, quite selfishly. I'm doing it for me because that's the kind of person I want to be.
Exactly.
So it is a journey. And how else did it show, you know, how did you end up talking about everyday love and social love? Where did this come from? How did it get into your life?
Oh, gosh. Love has always been such a big thing for me. I've written a chapter about this, actually, for a collaboration book that's out too. And even from childhood, I needed to be loved, but I didn't feel it. That's not to say that my parents didn't love me. But my poor little four-year-old self, when my sister came along, decided that I wasn't good enough and that I wasn't as loved as. And that was a theme that stayed through my childhood and manifested itself in overachieving and having to do really well on tests and exams, because that was how I got praise and that external validation that I needed. Because I suppose it's so hard as a child, isn't it, when you can't really express what you need. And you now that I'm a parent, I can look at that time in my parents' life and think, well, they were just trying to manage having a four-year-old and a newborn. It's a tough time. But as that child, I just didn't see it, and I just felt so unloved. So I've always been on this journey. But the thing that really brought it to me professionally was working with South Yorkshire Violence Reduction Unit.
Yeah.
So my area of interest is criminality and violence and how public health can, taking a public health approach to those things can help to prevent and reduce them. So I took a couple of years out of my public health training to set up the South Yorkshire Violence Reduction Unit. And it really struck me, because what we were trying to do there was reduce violence for young people up under 25s. And we didn't at any point talk about love. In all of the guidance documents, love wasn't mentioned at all. And attachment was only mentioned in two of those guidance documents. There were like 18 of them, which just seemed so odd. And every time I'd mention love and loving relationships to people professionally, I'd get a bit of nervousness because of that connotation, that automatic connotation of love with romance and sex. And we're talking about children, and we can't talk about that at work. Obviously, we're not talking about romantic love with the children that are in our care, but we do need to talk about social love, being socially loving and everyday love. And another thing that really interested me was love isn't mentioned in any of the social work codes of practice.
Wow.
In the Four Nations, that word does not appear. So it just seemed so hard. It was on the too hard pile for a long time, until I had my son, until I gave birth. You know, the thing that really brought home that love is the thing that I'm supposed to do is give a birth to my son. And it was such a profound experience that I hadn't expected. He was early, and the birth was not what I'd intended. We were in hospital. I wanted to be at home. But just that feeling, that flood of love, and I know it's hormones, but that feeling of unconditional love that has stayed and grown since every day, I'd not experienced before. And that was the thing that I'd been looking for my whole life, that I'd never found in relationships with partners, including my husband. I adore my husband, but it's different. It's a different type of love. And I realised that I have the resources to mean that this little boy is going to have such a protected life, really. He's going to have love, he's going to have enough to eat, he's going to have a roof over his head. You know, all the things that many children don't have. He's going to have stability in the home with his mum there. And how do we provide that for the millions of young people in the world who just don't have it, who don't have stability, don't feel love? I spoke to a man last year who told me, and he was in his 40s, he had never felt love at all in his life, ever. And as a result, he doesn't feel able to give it. So he perpetuates cycles of violence in his relationships because he doesn't know how to love. He's never had it. And that just, it just can't be right. And so my thinking is, my theory, and the thing that I know, is that if we professionally, if our public organisations and systems that were supposed to help and support society, if they made decisions through a socially loving lens, and if they considered the good of not only the people that they're trying to support, but the organisation, the community that they're operating within, and the planet, we would have such a different society. We'd be doing what Bell Hooks says and overcoming some of those dominant systems of inequality and moving towards a much more caring and an everyday loving society. But not just at that level. So it can't just start in organisations. We as individuals have to bring everyday love into our lives more and notice it, because I think it is there a lot. I think, I don't know about you, but a lot of the things that my online community said are things that happen in my life every day, but they're just sort of like, they're there and we don't necessarily appreciate them as much as we could do.
Yeah. I'm fascinated, and it's so interesting. In another podcast that I do within the sector I work in, I was recently speaking to a guy about the wellbeing economy, and he actually has just been announced this week as being the new head of the Violence Reduction Unit in Scotland, right? So it's interesting that you talk about that, because he talked, and he was also care experienced, and he talked that the way you're speaking, it's so similar to the way that Jimmy was speaking in that conversation. And we were really talking about how if we measured things properly in society, the things that matter, because actually, does anybody really care in normal daily life about the GDP, about all this? Nobody cares, but we've set society up to make that all important. You bring it right down to, let's love each other. Our lives will be better. It's as simple as that. Because see, if you have love in your life, I feel very, very lucky and fortunate. I'm the youngest in my family. I've always felt an immense amount of love, and I've never had a day in my life where I didn't feel loved. And I know for that I am very, very lucky. But that is what gives me my resilience. It gives me my drive. It gives me everything in my life. It's because I know I'm loved. Such a basic right of humanity, I almost feel, isn't that, Rachel?
Ah, so much so. It is a fundamental thing. And when you start to notice those little things, those little everyday love things, the things that you say to other people, it has such a profound impact. And actually, there was some research recently about those micro interactions that we have with people, about how they can make us happier than long-term relationships. So literally being nice and being kind, being everyday loving, socially loving to others, as well as ourselves, does literally make us happier. It's a scientific fact.
It does. You know, it's interesting. I often say to people, you know, when folk are just, let's face it, complete arseholes. And then people ruminate an awful lot about why do they behave like that. And I'm always trying to stop them in their tracks and saying, why are you trying to work out why the other people behave the way they behave? You will never work it out. It will bring you no happiness. It will not answer any of the questions that you've got about whatever it was you were trying to achieve. Just get on with doing what you want to do. If people are awful in life, walk past them, get on, find somebody who's going to do it properly with you, who's going to do it. I wouldn't have said in a more loving way before today, but maybe I will from now on.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Because it is being more loving. And being more loving to yourself, because you're right. You can't control what other people do, but you can control your thoughts about it. You can choose to think, if it's someone you don't know very well, okay, they're having a bad day, they must have had a really bad morning, I'm going to be kind anyway, and I'm going to continue being kind to the next person. Or like you say, you could ruminate on it and then it'd be in your day, when maybe it hasn't even affected them very much.
Exactly. Oh, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Rachel, and talking about love. That's such beautiful wisdom that you've shared. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hello and thank you for joining me on this episode of What Do You Know For Sure podcast. If you would like to connect with me, you can do that across social media by searching Anne Hughes Ignite. If I refer to my radio show and the podcast, you can catch those on my Mixcloud. Again, just searching Anne Hughes Ignite. And if you or anybody you know want to answer this question with me, please do get in touch. Just go onto my website, annehughesignite.co.uk, and fill in the contact page at the bottom, and I'll be delighted to have this conversation with you too. Thank you.